Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Kevin and Andrew, and we are the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Andrew, we had a 2-0 week. It was an interesting week. 2-0 nonetheless. How are you feeling after this week?
You take the wins. You take the wins. I think that I'm at fault a little bit for us playing not great.
You were like, this is an easy week.
I didn't say easy. I said that if you're going to pick a week, this one would be like the one where you could maybe get half of a breath back. Not the case. We got the wins, but did not end up being easy games. We were trailing in half by 9 against Oklahoma, trailing in half by 4 against Oklahoma State, and we're trailing for most of the game. But nonetheless, came back, got the 2 wins. That's all that matters. That's the only stat that matters. But we're moving into kind of the meat of the schedule. So I think that this isn't this take a breath week. This is a let's go. This is a let's go week.
This is the start of the meaty schedule. It's getting really meaty. This week might be kind of the intro to the meaty. We got Iowa State at Iowa State and then Texas at home, which, you know, you look at it, you're not too bad, whatever. But the next 8 games after that are brutal, and we're going to get into that. But, Andrew, that was a 16-game winning streak this 2-0 added to. 35 straight league games at home, 49 overall at home. That's bonker numbers. But probably more important, or maybe not, depending on what you're thinking about, KU is going to be number one in the polls come Monday. Do you think that was the number one team this week?
No. And I think there's still a chance that Villanova jumps us, and I probably am fine with that. At some level, I'm like, we should move up. You know, the very surface level fan of me, like, you know, we were number two, number one lost. We should move up to number one. You know, that surface level fan, there's a lot of those out there. Sure. But were we the number one team? We did not play like it. Yeah. So and in terms of like motivation or whatever that target that number one puts on your back, whatever that mindset you get with the number one beside your name, would I be okay if Villanova is number one? Totally fine with it.
Yeah.
But I think how the AP works and how the voters work, they'll move KU up, but I don't know. And Bill Self says this, and maybe it's fans kind of taking the personality of their coach. And I think that's true for a lot of places, especially at KU. Our answer will be, and my answer is, it doesn't really matter.
I agree. You know, someone's got to be number one, I guess.
Baylor was number one for a day, and they made T-shirts. I'm assuming. I don't know, but they were freaking out. I mean, good for them, but Baylor, from a team that's been there before, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. All right. So we're going to talk about some of those stories. We're going to get into the Big 12, certainly quite a bit in this episode, previewing the games this next week and some other fun stuff. So let's get right to it, Andrew. And let's start with the OSU game this weekend. Pretty ugly shooting, 25% from three. So this is one of those games where Bill Self kind of goes to his fool's gold commentary. If you're not making shots, how do you win? And we weren't making shots in the OU game, which we'll talk about in a second, but that was one of those where we were not making any shots in the first half and then came out and kind of shot our way out of it, made a bunch of threes in the second half. But the OSU game, we really didn't. 25% from three, didn't really make that many free throws. They probably played a better game than us. They had more assists than us. You know, the key was we got to the stripe a bunch and we out rebounded them. And a lot of those with offensive boards. What did you think of that game against OSU? You were there, correct?
I was there on Saturday. It was, you know, an interesting game. I never thought we were ever going to lose, but you know, we started off very poor, down by 11 at one point, and just never really kind of got our mojo going. In the second half, it wasn't like we went on a big run to come back. It was a very slow, methodical offensive effort and defensive effort to get back in the game. You know, sometimes we, like the Oklahoma game, you know, the game before, we were down by 9. But, you know, within several minutes in the first half, or in the second half, we were back up. We trimmed the lead down. But this was more, you know, Oklahoma State was still executing. We were still having a little bit of trouble on offense. So we needed the full 40 minutes to win that game. And even though it's against a team that's now 0-5 in the Big 12, it's still a pretty good team. And it took a little bit of a extra effort from KU, you know, to show that resilience and come back against that team.
Yeah, I agree. And I guess the one thing that kind of jumped out to me was, you know, the OU game, we got off to a really bad start, right, in the first half, and then never really got going, really didn't come out until the second half. And they talked about after the game, we obviously need to get off to a better start. Well, next game, OSU game, we did not get off to a better start. So that's kind of frustrating. You know, obviously they found their way and they picked it up and found a way to win. But here in the next 8 games or 10 games that we're talking about, the meat of the schedule, you might not be able to get off to those kinds of slow starts, especially on the road. You know, a game like Iowa State here Monday, that could get away from you if they start draining some threes and so forth. So hopefully they figure out whatever it is that's causing them to get off to a bad start on that game. I did want to talk about Brad Underwood. Andrew, I think he might be my second favorite coach in the Big 12. And it kind of pains me a little bit to say that because I obviously didn't really like their previous coach very much. But I really like Brad Underwood. His quotes were great after the game. He was talking about how he's 0-9 in that building as a player and coach. He's like, let's get the hell out of here. So that was pretty funny. And then he was talking about Josh Jackson. I thought this was interesting. And his quote was something like, he stood out on the AAU circuit. It's probably a shame because of our culture today, but he really stood out because he just played so hard. He's talented, but he plays hard. He's all motored up. We just wrote dog next to his scouting report because that's what he is. I kind of liked that.
I think this takes us to a larger conversation of the Big 12 needs to get some coaches we can hate more.
I know.
Because, Brad Underwood stepping into some big shoes of a hated Big 12 coach and is right. Not living up to it.
You're right.
Not living up to it. I mean, at this point, we don't know much about Chris Beard, but seems like a good dude. I don't think he's going to rock the boat at all. You know, no. Everybody loves Jamie Dixon across
right.
the country.
Yeah.
I guess it's all Bruce Weber and Scott Drew now. Which,
I think you're right.
You know, that's okay. I guess. I guess we can direct all of that hated Big 12 coach energy to those two guys because they take up a lot of oxygen.
It's true.
In that room. A lot of oxygen.
It's true.
But, you know, I'm going to miss the how much I hated, you know, some of these guys who have been sent out to pasture.
The only other thing I wanted to touch on was, Andrew, we missed like the first, I don't know, whatever, 11 minutes of the game. Those that were on ESPN.
You did not need to see those.
That's what it sounds like. So, yeah, I guess that was good.
Those were the worst 11 minutes probably of the season. And I'm like, and I kept getting these text messages like, oh, Georgia, Florida, still in overtime. How's the game going? And I'm like, it's not going great. It's going very badly. So
It's pretty clear that once they actually got the game on, they turned it around. So, you know, it's clear, like, people watching at home, you have a role to play, right? Like, once more eyeballs are on the game, KU eyeballs are on the game, like, it turned the game around. So, you know, don't feel like just because you're not there, you can't yell at your TV screen and get through to the team, because you can. It's clear you can, right?
I think so.
I think so, too.
When you're yelling at the ref and you're – your wife or your girlfriend or your kids say to you, like, they can't hear you.
Yes, they can.
Yes, they can.
Prove me I'm wrong.
Let's move on and talk about the OU game just real quick. It was earlier this past week. Pretty terrible game in the first half. We were down by 9 points against a team with a limited Jordan Woodard, their best player. With nothing going on at either end, basically what happened, we'd take the ball down on offense. We'd kind of throw it up against the backboard really hard and it'd bounce in a weird direction. They'd get the ball and either get a layup or a foul on the other end. Like, that happened like 8 trips in a row.
Yeah.
And that led to a 9-point lead for Oklahoma in Norman at halftime. Second half was a different story where we scored 54 points. They had 34. So we outscored them by 20 in the second half, which is, even though this is a down OU team, outscoring a team by 20 and a half on the road in the Big 12 is ridiculous.
Yeah, so they made shots.
Winning by 11. Yeah, ended up winning by 11, made some shots, and played well defensively. Just a completely different story. If we see that team, the second half OU team, more often, I think our winning streak is going to, you know, have a shot to be extended for some more games. But we see the first half team, we're going to lose some of those games.
Yeah, this team is so different when shots go in. And I know that sounds kind of silly, but it seems like when you make one, you make seven. You know, like it's not just a one shot goes in and that's the end of it. It seems like they really just kind of cascade off of each other when threes are falling. So it'd be nice to get a couple early ones to go in some of these games. I want to talk about the player of the game in this, Andrew. And to do so, I think we ought to just quickly bring back an old drop here.
Here's the three.
That drop, of course, is talking about Paul Pierce, and you could put a blindfold on him because he's making so many threes. Andrew, Frank Mason was 5 for 6 from three in this game. And overall, just looking at his numbers, they're just bonkers. He's like 53% on the season from three. We're halfway through the season. 53% is crazy. He had 28 points. Obviously a great game. And I don't know if you remember this, Andrew, but before the season, we did some tough questions about the season. And I asked you, will Frank Mason be at least a second team All-American? You said no. And I said, yes, I think we're both wrong. I think he's going to be a first team All-American. He keeps this up, right?
And I think he's inching closer and closer towards Josh Hart.
I think you're right.
That number one overall for favorite for player of the year.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy to think about this little kid coming in a couple years ago who, all we knew, he was a Appalachia State recruit that we got, and that he could do backflips. Like, that's all we really knew about this guy.
Pretty much.
And then now he he's in a great spot to become National Player of the Year, or at least be very competitive for it. He may snag a couple of those awards if he keeps it up. And you know what? The way he's being used, and the kind of stats he puts up, he's going to be very competitive, because that's, some of those things aren't going to go away.
Yeah.
Now the three point shooting and the 3 point shooting percentage, that may go down a little bit because that's an ungodly number.
Yeah. Which we saw against in this last game, he didn't shoot the ball very well from three, but still got his points.
But otherwise, you know, he's on pace to, you know, obviously be conference player of the year, but you know, a lot higher. It's good for him. I'm glad to see it. If there's anybody I would say this would be, it would be Josh Jackson, who I don't think is very far behind him. I in the KenPom rankings, I think he's in the top 10 as well, next to Frank Mason. So I'm very excited for him, and you know, he deserves everything he's going to get.
I agree. And speaking of what he's going to get, I mean, think about this. At this point, he just passed Brandon Rush for in all-time points at KU. If he keeps this up, like this kind of pace up, I mean, he's going to be up among the top in KU history in points. We might be talking about a guy that's got his freaking jersey in the rafters before this is all said and done. So kind of just crazy to think about with Frank Mason this year and all the star power you heard about early in the season, you know, all these players coming in is going to be studs, and all of a sudden Frank Mason's up there on top. So kind of crazy, but yeah, he had a great game. Obviously Landon had another good game, another double double, 13 boards. Jackson had a good game, adding 16 points, but he was 0-for-3 from three. And I'm kind of starting to wonder, Andrew, should he ever shoot another 3-pointer as a Jayhawk?
He should, but not very many.
Not very many. Like one a game. Will you allow him one a game? And if it goes in, you get another one. I think that should be the rule.
I don't think there should be a hard and fast rule, but yeah, he should not take that many. So I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, and I don't think I have, but I saw the greatest description of Josh Jackson's shot, especially his 3-point shot, his jump shot.
Okay.
Is like, it's a rusty, lazy boy that you're trying to kick the leg open, and you keep pulling on the lever, and it like then it kicks open, and it's like, yeah,
like
that's what his shot motion looks like. There's so many moving parts to it. He's so much better when he's just driving to the basket.
I agree.
Or just like around the rim, like he's a great power forward right now. Like in the NBA, he's gonna, you know, work on that, and that'll come along.
Yeah,
but
he'll have to.
For right now, like where he is in elite talent is around the basket.
I agree. Yeah, I like that description. But you know, again, Andrew, 2-0, got through those games, got through a tough road game, even at a team that's probably the worst in the Big 12 at this moment. Maybe Texas has a vibe for that as well. But anyway, we got through it. Let's get Andrew to the water cooler conversation here. Andrew, do you remember toward the start of this season when everyone said this might be Bill Self's deepest team? Got a ton of depth on this team. You remember that?
I do. I didn't agree with it at the time because when they were talking about the depth, they're like 8 or 9. And there's been times in the past where we've gone 10, 11.
Okay.
But now we're at 7.
Yeah, and really kind of more like 5. But you're right. 7, I think, is for sure. And in this OSU game, we had 2 players play off the bench. So we only had 7 players get minutes. Bragg had 9 and Vic had 20. Andrew, they combined for 3 points between the two of them, Bragg and Vic. And these were 2 guys that you wouldn't think of as coming in and being role player defensive type guys. I mean, Vic and Bragg have been scoring points, but three points between the two of them. You look at the OU game, there were 5 players off the bench. Colby and Lightfoot each got a minute, Tyler Self got a minute. But really, it was still Bragg and Vic who had 22 and 10 minutes. Andrew, they combined for 5 points, all of them from Vic, who actually went 1 of 6 from the field. So the last 2 games, the bench has scored 8 points, and it hasn't been very pretty. I guess my question to you is this a 5-man show going forward?
It's a 7-man show with struggling Vic and struggling Carlton Bragg.
Yeah.
Like those guys are going to get their minutes, but you know, largely our points come from 4 guys. And you saw that yesterday. You saw that against Oklahoma State where 3 guys had over 20 points or had 20 points or higher, which can you remember a time that you've been watching KU games where 3 players for KU had 20 points?
I mean, not off the top of my head. I'm sure it's happened, but not ringing a bell. I mean, I'm sure it has recently, but it doesn't happen very often.
We're going to push that boundary every game.
You're right.
I mean, you can think back like, oh, maybe Wayne Simien, Keith Lankford, and Aaron Miles, maybe Brandon Rush, Mario Chalmers and Julian Ride or Daryl Arthur, but maybe, and even then, like there was so much to go around that there wasn't enough minutes for those guys to get 20 points, or at least all 3 of them get 20 minutes.
Lots of
minutes. Or 20 points. But there's lots of minutes here. Frank's going to play 38 a game. He's just going to play 38 a game. Josh Jackson, if he doesn't get in foul trouble, is going to play 34 minutes. And then Devontae is probably going to play 36 minutes.
Yep.
You play your best players, and I think, like, Frank Mason, he's earned all the minutes he gets. And I think he plays better when he's on there all the time. Like, when he has these huge breaks, he usually comes out pretty rusty. So give him all the minutes he wants, and we'll go from there. But I don't have a problem with it. It's just a different way of putting things together. And we've seen in the tournament you know, deep benches don't really matter in terms of winning championships. Does it matter winning conference titles? Probably, because it's just a grind and you're going to need guys to get some rest. But, you know, this is a different team. This is a senior laden team in terms of, you know, being led by Frank Mason and Landon Lucas at those crucial spots in the starting lineup. And, you know, a lot of minutes under these guys' belts other than Josh Jackson. So I'm not too concerned about it, but it's just a different way than we're used to. I mean, usually the problem is we've got to cut it to 9. Now we can't even do that.
Yeah,
cut it cut it to the 8-man rotation.
That is not a problem. That is not a problem this year. We have heard Self say multiple times that they've really cut down practices too, trying to not to wear guys out over the course of the week. And I think you're right. The Big 12 grind will probably be a bigger problem rather than NCAA tournament. But I guess you hope that you don't run them down so much during the Big 12 tournament that they're not fresh in March. It's kind of the other side of the coin. So we'll see. But I think you're right. You know, these guys are most of the leaders on the team now. Most of the guys that are getting all the minutes other than Josh Jackson have been through this before. You know, their bodies have been through it before. I think they could probably handle it. And they're young. They can do it, right? Andrew, let's get into the Big 12 a little bit.
Come out, Pete. I'm a man. I'm 40.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
All right, I'm going to set this one up. The Big 12, Andrew, is starting to pull away from the pack on KenPom as the top conference. The only other thing I would say is I looked at conference RPI too, you know, because that thing is still a thing. And we're third in the conference RPI for whatever that's worth. But the Big 12, according to KenPom, is far and above everyone else, and the ACC is kind of a distant second. Any thoughts on that? Do you think this is still the best conference top to bottom?
I don't know. It just depends on how you evaluate it. I mean, from top to bottom, from 1 to 10, all the teams are pretty good. I mean, Texas is struggling and Oklahoma is struggling, but they got a good win this weekend. All the teams are very competitive, have good coaches, have good players. They're just going to get wins away from each other. So you can't evaluate in terms of, record. The ACC has a lot of good teams up top, but a lot of bad teams at the bottom, and similar to the Big East. So, I mean, in terms of, your teams as a whole, I think the Big 12 is by far the best. But, can it compete with the top 5-6 teams from the ACC? It's going to be tough.
The good news is you're not going to really have any bad losses in the Big 12 this year. any loss you have is not a bad loss. That's what's crazy.
Like if you lose at Texas, okay. Like that's going to happen, but they may finish ninth in the league.
Yeah, I agree. Well, Andrew, let's recap some of the games from this week. We've mentioned a couple of them, but West Virginia stomped Baylor after Baylor became the number one team in the country. Iowa State.
I want to stop you there. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah.
Isn't it the most Baylor thing to have happen is they become number one team. Like everyone like freaks out like, yeah, Baylor number one. And like literally, so what? That happens Monday morning, Monday afternoon, and then Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, they are destroyed by West Virginia, 25 points or whatever it was, and that's just ultimate Baylor, Baylor move.
It didn't even feel that close. The 25 points, like it was disgusting.
How far do you think they'll drop?
Oh, that's a good question. So they did beat K-State in Manhattan with the
later in
the week, which is a good win, exactly. And they certainly weren't favored to win in West Virginia. So again, not a bad loss. It's more kind of the way they lost. I don't know. Maybe they fall to like 4 or 5. What do you think?
I think a little further down.
Really? Interesting.
6 or 7.
Wow. Well, we'll see. All right, so the other games from the weekend, Iowa State beat Texas pretty easily. Texas Tech squeezed by K-State in another crazy late game theater issue with old Bruce getting a technical. Do you see that game?
I loved it.
That was so great.
I loved it.
That was so great. Bruce ended the game for K-State. They had a chance. In fact, a long three. I brought them within one in the game, and
which is even better. So they're down 4 with 5 seconds to go. They take it down the court, and they hit a long three to make it down 1. And then you think back, oh, Bruce Weber just got a technical, and they scored both free throws. That's 2 points. We lost by 1 point. Do the math.
Yeah.
It
wasn't a great – I mean, it was a pretty bad call. Like, at the end of the game –
He ran out onto the floor.
He was like 4 feet onto the floor.
He was at the free throw line.
I think in that situation, a good unless Bruce has just been chomping them all game and it like got a warning or something. And then
which he probably did.
If that's the case, then whatever. But if this is the first time, I think you grab him by the shoulders, you walk him back and say, you stay on the sideline unless you want a technical. I think a good ref does that. But again, we don't know the whole situation. Maybe he'd been chomping all game and that was just the last straw. So you're probably right. He probably was, but whatever. Sorry, K-State. And TCU went 2-0 this week, Andrew, with wins against Texas and a good one against Iowa State. Texas came up short against West Virginia and an upset bid that was so close, Andrew, yesterday, 74-72. So Texas showing signs of life without Tevin Mack, but still not good enough. Baylor pulled away from K-State late, as we mentioned, in Manhattan. And OU had a good win against Tech. So, Andrew, what do you say, based on all of that, we get to some go-go power rankers?
The power lies on their side. Go-go power rankers!
Andrew, KU's number one, right?
Yep, only undefeated. And we've had the easiest schedule. This is all going to work out. Well, only easiest in that we haven't had to play West Virginia or Baylor yet, but
Or Iowa State,
but that's coming. Yep. It's coming.
Yep. So West Virginia to me is the obvious number two now with Baylor. I mean, it's obviously between those two. Baylor gets curb stomped by West Virginia. I don't think there's really any argument there, right?
Nope.
Baylor number three. Pretty obvious, I think, also at this point that they're maybe a step ahead of the next little section of teams. Baylor number three. I think we can all agree on that. Andrew, this is when it gets interesting, though. Four through whatever, seven, right? And that's kind of the Iowa State, TCU, K-State, and Tech group of teams. I put Iowa State as number four. How do you feel about that?
I agree. Okay. I agree. They've definitely got a show everybody what they've got on Monday in Ames against KU. We'll see what's going to happen there. But I think, you know, we haven't got a win there 3 years.
That sounds right.
It's going to be tough. I mean, the ice storm may have put a chill on ticket prices. So if you want to go up there and see that game, I think tickets are a little more affordable than they have been in leading up to this game. But, I mean, they're going to be tough. It's always tough to go up there to Hilton and play. But I think that they're deserving of their number four spot. They lost yesterday to TCU in Fort Worth. But, you know.
And then their only other loss is to Baylor by 2 points. And they beat Tech, Texas, and Oklahoma State otherwise. So we haven't seen – they don't have, like, a great win yet. And that could come potentially Monday. Hopefully not. But you know, they've won the games probably they're supposed to win. So I guess that's kind of why I have them where they are. It was between them and TCU, Andrew. That's who I have fifth. Are you comfortable with that?
I like TCU. They're a good team. They've got good players. They're coached well. They're not this kind of dumpster fire that they have been. You know, they're going to be a force in this league going forward. Do they deserve the fifth spot? I'm okay with you putting them there, but I kind of like K-State and Texas Tech better a little bit at this point.
I almost put them four because Andrew. The only losses they have are Kansas and West Virginia.
Right.
I mean, they're supposed to lose those games. They beat Oklahoma, Texas, and Iowa State. They've won the games they're supposed to win. And it was close for me between those two.
I don't think they'll finish fifth, but I'm okay with you putting them fifth right now.
Okay. And then the next one up, it was also kind of tough, but I have K-State as the sixth team. That was obviously between them and Texas Tech. They've lost three out of the last four K-State has. Of course, they've all been close games. The Baylor game, it was closer than the 9-point loss that they had yesterday. They had a couple or one or two score game pretty much the whole way. Then their only other losses are obviously 2 points to Kansas and 1 point to Texas Tech. So three close losses and then two wins against Texas and Oklahoma. Are you comfortable with them there, or do you like Texas Tech more?
No, K-State's good. They surprised me. They had some some tough games this week. But I think that, you know, they're going to be a good team going forward. I think same situation. I don't think that they're going to finish there. I think Texas Tech's a better team, but they're okay. They're okay in that number five spot.
Fair enough. And then we've got Texas Tech next. Obviously, they have the best win probably on the schedule against West Virginia, but they had kind of a rough loss this week at Oklahoma, losing by 9 points. Probably should have won that game or kept it a little closer. It was close. These teams right here are all kind of bunched up for me, but that's the way we have it right now. I'm sure it will change in the week to come. Andrew, I've got Oklahoma State at number 8. And this is also tough. 8, 9, 10. I think everyone kind of agrees that 8, 9, 10 should be OSU, OU, and Texas in some order. I've got OSU 8, even though they still are not winning games. What do you think about that?
Until they win a game, I don't know if you could put them up there. Like, in terms of skill, in terms of overall team, you know, they're pretty good.
I think they're really good.
They're 0-5, but they're probably the best 0-5 winless team in any conference.
Right.
But they got to win a game. They got to win a game.
Technically, in KenPom, they are they're actually better than Texas Tech and one spot behind TCU per KenPom. So that just kind of shows you there, you know, that the numbers like them. Unfortunately, the winning is the problem that they're struggling with. And then, Andrew, to close it off, I've got OU and Texas to close off the end here. I think that you can obviously gripe because Texas has played better of late, but losing Tevin Mack and reading some headlines in Texas, it's not looking great. So they took the 10th spot, plus it just felt better to put them in 10th. What do you think about that?
I think that's fine. They both got wins this week. In terms of thinking, you know, at the end of the season, you know, OU or Texas is going to be the last. It's just good. That's just going to work. That's just how it's going to be. It's crazy to think about, but one of those teams is going to finish 10th out of 10.
Yeah, probably right. Okay, so let's look at some games this week coming up. We used to do this. I think it's good to bring back just to let some folks know, maybe the casual observers, to see what games they ought to pay attention to. Monday, obviously, we got KU at Iowa State. Tuesday, Texas at Baylor, kind of an eh. Wednesday, OU at West Virginia, kind of eh. TCU at Tech, which could be interesting. And then K-State at Oklahoma State, which could be interesting. Then Saturday slate is also not great. It's ISU at OU, which who knows. Oklahoma State at Tech, Texas at KU, West Virginia at K-State, and Baylor at TCU. So overall, the schedule this week is mostly eh. I don't love any, none of those games are all that intriguing, other than unless you're just kind of a real Big 12 buff and you're really into watching TCU at Tech, which could be a great game, by the way, but, you know, not that interesting. So the next week, though, should be very interesting. So we'll look forward to that. Andrew, what do you say we preview the games this week and start with this one tomorrow night, Monday night at Iowa State? Iowa State is led by some names that we remember: Naz Long, Monte Morris, Matt Thomas, Deontay Burton. Same dudes, right? Monte Morris is still really good, averaging 16 points. So is Naz Long for that matter. Burton and Thomas are both in double figures. They don't turn the ball over at all. They're number one in offensive turnover percentage in KenPom. And for the first time I can remember, Andrew, listen to this. Their defensive efficiency is ranked better than their offensive efficiency on KenPom.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's been since,
I think 2009 or 10. Maybe one of those teams was close to that, but not any time recently.
I was going to say, like, around McDermott, like, maybe, but even then it was never, you'd never say that they were a great defensive team, but
right.
That's interesting. And maybe that more balance is going to take them a little further going forward. But it'll be interesting to see. They're undefeated, or we're undefeated in Big 12 play. But they haven't lost a game yet at home. in the Big 12. They've got wins against Texas Tech, which they should have lost, and they've got a win against Texas at home. Their only loss is at Baylor and at TCU this past weekend. Okay, Kevin, Ames, Iowa, not that far. You are in an industry where a lot of your work takes you to Des Moines. Is your work going to take you magically to Des Moines tomorrow? And are you going to go to the game?
It's supposed to. I'm supposed to go to Des Moines today and stay there till Tuesday. I made this trip, timing-wise, of course, around going to the KU game. Unfortunately, Mother Nature coming into play, ice storm, obviously, here in Kansas and Kansas City. And unfortunately, the timing is brutal. It's like ice storm in Kansas City today, ice storm in Iowa tomorrow. It's actually nice up there today. So I'm trying to figure out what to do here, Andrew. I think we need an episode of Naismith Court to determine whether my decision to go to Des Moines is a good one or not. Do you want to bring the court into session?
Hear ye, hear ye.
I really just wanted to hear you do that. Okay.
Rise. If you're in your car, don't rise, please.
Are you done yet?
Okay. Yeah. The Honorable Judge Andrew now calls this court into session. What issue do we have here?
Okay. So my decision right now, and my wife does not like it, by the way, is to go to Des Moines this afternoon, go through the ice, whatever. Monday, though, is the issue. I think I can get to Des Moines. I think I'll be okay today. Monday's the issue because it's like a legit ice storm. I've been watching tickets on like StubHub and SeatGeek and all those places, right? They dropped like by 75% in the past day. Like this ice storm, I guess, has everyone freaked out. It's about 30, 45 minutes from my hotel to Ames. I'm thinking about doing it. What do you think?
All right. I'm not going to go on record in a published form of media to tell you to drive through the ice, because if something were to happen, they would have been like, listen, he talked him into it. So I'm going to go on record and say, no, don't do it, Kevin.
See, that's tough because I think I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
But I might play it by ear a little bit. So here's the deal. I might go to Des Moines, and then if it's just awful, then I'm not going to do it. But if it's like just sort of awful, I might do it. What if I told you that? Would you be cool with that? Like, let's say it's about what it is today. Have you been out today? It's sort of slick. Yeah.
I have.
Slick.
I almost fell down. It's that bad.
Okay. So let's say it's like today in Des Moines. Would you say yes or no?
I'm going to stick by my previous statement.
All right, fair enough. Well, if the folks at home have a ruling for me on Naismith Court, let me know.
I don't want any of this coming back to me.
So you're just being self-preservation right now. What if...
No, yeah, 100%.
What if it was you? Like, take me out of it. What if it was you? Would you go? Would you do it?
Well, I'm going to try to go to the Chiefs game, which is not that far from me, but
right,
it's a little different story. I probably wouldn't go.
Okay. All right. I'm going to play it by ear. Hopefully I get to go. Hopefully the weather's not as bad as they're saying and whatever. So there you go. We'll see. If you see some tweets from good old Hilton Coliseum, you'll know that I've at least made it there. And maybe I'll check in when I get back, if I go, just to let the folks at home know that I made it. Let Andrew know that I made it. Okay. Okay. So Texas game is at home Saturday. They're 1-4 in the Big 12. The last two home games have been close losses to TCU by 3 and West Virginia by 2. They're actually pretty good on the defensive side of the ball. They just can't score. And over the course of the season, the only person that's really been able to score has been Tevin Mack. Unfortunately, right before the West Virginia game, he was suspended indefinitely for a violation of team rules. He wasn't even on the bench, Andrew. And I started reading into this a little bit, checking old Twitter. After the game, after that TCU game, the previous one that they lost, close game, Tevin Mack and Kerwin Roach were seen yelling at each other on the court. this game, Andrew, Roach looked like he had a black eye in the West Virginia game. And after the game, he called it an eye infection. And some of the folks on the Twitter were trying to maybe connect some dots to say that maybe Tevin Mack's suspension had something to do with the fact that Kerwin Roach had a black eye. They asked Chaka if the suspension was a university rule issue, and he said no, it was a team rule issue, further supporting the potential that he, in fact, did get into a fight with a teammate. So
good deductions there, Sherlock Holmes.
Thank you.
There's some research in there. I didn't know this story.
I didn't either until this morning. I was just doing some research for the podcast, which I rarely do. So this is for the folks at home. It was a big loss, though. Mack has been probably the only one that's been able to do anything, especially from beyond the arc. I was looking at the numbers. If you take his threes out on the season, the team is averaging 27% from three. Yikes. And then I thought about this. I was like, so what would happen if we took KU's best three-point shooter, Frank Mason, right now out of it? KU would still be averaging 38%. So just to show you how big of a difference it is without Mack in the lineup. So I guess all that to say, not sure things are going so hot for old Shaka in Austin these days.
Yeah, and I love that.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, I love that.
Hurt your feelings too much?
No, it doesn't.
Me neither. Two articles in Texas News today said rock bottom was the headline, and officially in rebuilding mode was the other headline, which really, especially like that rock bottom one. That one nice. But you know, they've actually showed signs of life. They probably should have beat West Virginia. Although West Virginia, as we know, is not the same team on the road as they are at home. So they're gonna lose some games on the road. But still,
someone should go out there and find this statistic. When was the last time that Texas football and Texas basketball in the same season will both finish under 500?
Ooh, great question. Yeah, I'm not going to do the research, but probably I bet someone has. So we will we'll find out. Maybe if anybody knows, send it to us. I'd love to definitely get a retweet out of that. So poor Shaka. Obviously, KU will be favored in this game by a lot of points, something like 15 on KenPom, I think I saw. That probably feels about right. Texas, they're just not very good right now. The good news for Texas is they're very young. They got a bunch of freshmen and sophomores that are playing. When they say rebuilding mode, they really do probably mean that. They'll probably be fine in years to come. We'll see about Tevin Mack. Who knows? So, Andrew, that was the preview for this next week, but I thought we should probably do a little sneak peek about the kind of the weeks to come. And you talked about that meat of the schedule. Check out the next eight games after that Texas game. And here they are in order: at West Virginia, at Kentucky, Baylor at home, Iowa State at home, at K-State, at Texas Tech, West Virginia at home, and at Baylor. That is a tough stretch of eight games if I've ever seen one before.
That's pretty intense. You've got the number one KenPom team in Kentucky. You got the number two KenPom team in West Virginia twice. The current number one team in the country, AP-wise, twice. You have what's been our rival in most recent Big 12 years in Iowa State. You've got at K-State, which we don't win at, in the past recent history, don't win at a whole lot there in Bramlage. And then at Texas Tech, we've lost there before, and yeah, they're better than they ever have been in the last 15 years. So that eight-game stretch, I would wager, is one of the hardest in the country that any team will ever face this season.
So I was looking at KenPom here because I kind of like looking at futures on there to kind of see what, because he does little predictions of each, as currently stands, what the computers think each game would be. And he's got us going 5-3 in this stretch by individual game record, right? So the three losses he's got predicted are at West Virginia, at Kentucky, and I believe it was at Baylor, right? So those three games he's got us losing. But then you look at his projected overall record, which down at the bottom, you know, he kind of plugs in all the numbers, and instead of taking individual games, he basically uses the a cumulative probability of winning each game, and actually has us going 3-5 in that stretch. And so I'm wondering, kind of, what do you think the record's going to be during this stretch? What would you be happy with? I'm trying to kind of do this myself a little bit, and it's hard to say, God, I'd love to go 4-4 in this stretch, or 5-3 in this stretch and feel really good, but I'm sort of close to that. What do you think?
I think 5-3, you feel real good. 4-4, you'd be fine with. 3-5, you wouldn't be happy with. But anything below that would be terrible.
Yeah, I agree. 4-4 or better will be fine, I think. So here's the deal. Our last four games after this brutal stretch, right? The last four are against TCU, Texas, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. Like, those are our easiest games on the schedule. So if we could get through this with four losses, and let's say one of them is Kentucky, that would mean we finished the season 15-3 in the Big 12. So it sounds scary to go 4-4 or even 3-5 for that matter in this stretch. But even 3-5, if one of those losses is against Kentucky, that's 14-4 in the Big 12 and we win the league, right?
Right.
So it sounds crazy, but I think you're right. Anything 4-4 or better, you might be happy with. So kind of crazy. And that's not even counting. That's, of course, counting a win at Iowa State Monday, which is going to be a huge game, right? I think this game Monday, even though we talked about this 8-game stretch is brutal. I think the game at Iowa State is huge, because if you win that one and then you win against Texas, that makes this 8-game stretch not as important, you know, to really go steal some wins as it otherwise would be. So it's a big game on Monday.
A very big game. Always like to get a win in Hilton Coliseum. It's always, we haven't gotten one in a while. We're due. We need to get Frank a win in Hilton. I think he may have had one his freshman year, but it doesn't matter. He needs to leave Hilton Coliseum with a win before he graduates. Question before we go. Will we be number one on Monday?
I think so. I think we're going to beat Iowa State.
Will we be number one the following Monday?
I don't think so. I don't think we're going to beat West Virginia and Kentucky. And if, let's say, we beat West Virginia and lose by Kentucky, like, on the buzzer beater, you know, maybe you don't move us down, because that's whatever. That's pretty ridiculous. That's a good week. Winning one of those games. If we win one of those games, we probably shouldn't move down from number one.
I think that would be the following Monday.
Oh, okay.
But I get what you're saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wrote this thinking what I'm saying, and I agree the way I wrote it. You're reading it right. So yes, I apologize. We will be ranked number one this Monday. We will be ranked number one the following Monday, but the following Monday, as you were saying, unlikely. Do you agree with that?
If we are, then wow, good on us. Like, that's incredible. That's tough for any team to do.
Really good opportunity to solidify a one seed, though, with one of those wins.
Absolutely.
You know, we have a signature win against Duke, although that's not looking as good these days. But it'd be nice to get a couple more. I mean, we'll hopefully beat these teams on our home floor, but maybe stealing one of these on the road will be either West Virginia, Kentucky, or Baylor. Any of those will look good on a resume for sure. Okay, what about this? This starting stretch, Andrew, will definitely determine whether KU wins another league title. Yes or no?
No. There's more to it. Well, I mean, you're saying 8 games in a season, in a conference season, I mean, excluding Kentucky. That's half of it, or almost half of it. So, I mean, yeah, if we do really well, we're probably going to win, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Okay. I agree. We'll see what happens with, hopefully Baylor and West Virginia and others give us some help. losing some games other than against KU, and because we're going to need that, because as we've seen, Andrew, even with these Oklahoma game and Oklahoma State game, I think we're going to get everyone's best shot. And we should. I mean, that makes sense. And I think everyone in the league is always gunning for Kansas until someone knocks Kansas off. So hopefully we'll see some other teams take care of business, because I don't think we're going to get any free games going forward. It certainly doesn't feel like it after this week, right?
I don't think so. No, this is good. This is when the season starts.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. All right. Well, we will hopefully be back next Sunday with another episode. Hopefully I've made it back from Des Moines. Andrew has fully protected himself with his attorney answer to not tell me to tell me not to go, but we'll see if that actually happens. But either way, it's going to be a fun week, and certainly an even more fun week in the weeks to come. So we will talk to you then. Thank you very much for listening, and rock chalk. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. Nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock, chuck, Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock, chuck, Jayhawk in your faces. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, it's baby. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it.